extra time is exactly how I find out what's going on in the MLS.
Get lost. Get lost.
Maybe this podcast has influenced me a little bit as well.
Everybody up here, every single day, goes into the office, into the laboratory, to try to cook up some great stuff for you guys.
That's why he's here.
Wow, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time. From the AT&T 5G Virtual Studios, I am Andrew Wiebe with my partners in soccer, Matt Doyle, David Goss, Kalen Carr. It is less than 7 days until opening day. I can't believe it. It's shocking. I don't know how we got here. It is February, and there's 10 inches of snow outside my door, and it doesn't feel right. But here we are. Two shows left until week one. We're in the midst of CCL round of 16. It is prediction time. We have given you all 28 season previews. You can go back and listen to those if you haven't already. We will now do our individual predictions, including extra time categories, as well as the more traditional ones. And on Thursday, we will have your week one preview, and we'll have our first ever trophy draft. Golden Boot, presented by Audi Draft, is today. What's up, boys? We have three new players for FC for Charlotte.
Do we put our hands in and yell Charlotte on three?
We're screwed.
Oh no.
Remember last week when Weeby said we're gonna get a lot of play out of that, and I said that's a liberal use of the word Weeby.
Yeah, you were right. So three of us are wearing Charlotte FC home
kits.
First
prediction of the year.
Charlotte has officially announced the signing of Kalen Carr. They're in need of wingers. Kalen, how do you feel in this this special moment for you returning from retirement? We all were waiting for this moment.
I was at their open training, and afterwards was the little presser where he said that. And the first person I thought of was, Andrew Wiebe's going to love this. He's going to make me. First, I had to check the translation, and then I was like, no, he's going to put that in the open for sure.
Yeah, that's going to be the title of a podcast coming very, very soon. So we got a full show today for you. We're going to do all the categories. We're going to have fun with it. Our track record is not the best, and we'll get that to in just a little bit. We have some bad choices from last year.
By the way, can I just say, really enjoyed your interview with Josie last week. So I would highly recommend, if anybody has not heard that one yet, go back and take a listen. We don't get to hear from Josie that often, it feels like. So to be able to have like a really long form conversation with him was really interesting. I thought you guys hit, really the whole territory of everything. So that was excellent. So just wanted to big you up on that one, Weebs.
I know that's from the heart from you, but I also know that nobody hits the promos like you do. And if we had a movement to throw to right now, I would do so. The full complement of movements is also available on YouTube for you to go.
I'm working on a Charlotte. I'm working on a Charlotte FC thing. That's what I was doing down there.
Oh, nice.
So stay tuned for that. Yeah, that'll be coming out.
Full
soon.
Circle. Yeah. We saw a big Suze in you there, and that's pretty cool too. Go check out the call up if you haven't already. They're getting you ready for the 2022 season as well. Before we get into these categories, I'll throw this to you first, Doyle. How many CCL teams are getting through, and how have you experienced this first round of round of 16 matches for MLS teams?
Four are getting through.
You meant MLS teams,
just CCL. Four MLS teams are getting through. I'm not down on Montreal, but I just think if they had gotten a draw, then I would have said 5-5, but I just think it'll be too tough for them in their second game of the year to get it done against Santos, who, to be fair, were dog water. They were not good, and then they have not been good all year. But it's, we know how tough it is to beat Liga MX teams in this competition, given that everybody's shaking the rust off. So that's one. And your second question, how I've experienced it, glued to the TV on Tuesday night, and then watched most of the games on Wednesday night. Then last night I got sucked into the Octortal wormhole. This is Wordle, except you play eight at once, so you're trying to solve eight Wordles at once, and I played that.
But you only get the same guesses.
You only get the same guesses, yeah. So you have to have a strategy for it. And I played that from like 6:30 p.m. to like 8:45, and I completely forgot to put on the Rapids game. So I didn't watch the Rapids game until like midnight. I was like, I can't believe I did that. I did watch the Sounders game while still playing Octortle. And I will say that...
this might be the nerdiest segment we've ever done.
Yeah, all five MLS teams looked quite a bit like they're in preseason form, as expected.
Yeah. I thought Comunicaciones looked pretty good.
They did.
Yeah, they moved the ball well, man.
Dude, what a legendary squad. You've got Anungano. You've got Alex Larine. You've got Alan Yanez, obviously Red Bull 2 legend. That's a team out there. I was pumped about that. I'll say five.
Of course they got the goal late on. I mean, like, you know, Montreux had it. Colorado had it. It wouldn't be the new year.
I was waiting for Seattle.
Exactly.
It
was like, why not?
I texted Anders at the 78th minute. I said, Q, late fluky goal. That's heartbreaking.
You got five. You're saying five teams through.
Yeah, why not? Well, obviously this is the easiest year ever because the Revs already got through. So that's one easy one. I will say... of the four Doyle said, I feel fairly confident, right? NYCFC up 2-0 going home or going to LA. Seattle, I feel fairly confident about. And I think Colorado will come home in 16-degree weather and be able to win. The goal is tough, and we talked about it. You just want to score down there rather than lose and get shut out. But I still feel fairly confident with this Colorado group. And I don't think I miss anyone. And then it's Montreal, where, I don't know, they look pretty comfortable. And this was a C-plus roster, B-minus. I mean, they had zero depth. They had no options in the attack off the bench. They had no fullback. So I'm gonna believe. Even after the Comunicaciones goal and the Santos Laguna goal, I'm going to bring belief back.
Do you have that same level of belief for Forge FC? Do you think they're going to go to the Azteca and turn around that 1-0 home defeat they suffered against Cruz Azul?
I do not, but that was a fluky soft goal. And that is heartbreaking for them. And Kyle Becker should have had a goal as well. I do not have that.
Look at the references we've got. We got a Kyle Becker reference in here. We got an Anangano reference in here. Your level of belief, Kalen, we haven't got your thoughts on CCL. I know you're a long-term, like, you know, MLS is going to do this thing optimist when it comes to this competition. You really love it from the logistics all the way to the results. It's always had a special place in your heart, I know. You and Dom probably. You're FaceTiming with Dom Kinnear during these games, right? You're both watching, just, you know, love
Twitch
flowing.
Stream. Yeah, it's a Twitch stream.
Exactly. I'd watch that. I would watch that for sure.
I actually enjoyed playing in the tournament. Like going down to Panama and some places, there's some good memories, but ultimately, that was like a different era now. So I am hoping that we can make a deep run. And, you know, I think there's a couple teams, NYCFC and New England, especially, that I'm kind of holding some hope out for to like really go far into this thing. But it gets tricky, as you know, you guys know better than anybody else. So what did I say before? Cautiously pessimistic, I think was the way I said it last year.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I'm still in that camp. Yeah.
Yeah, that fits pretty well. You were in the in those glory days of the group stages. So those are over, but we're in the round of 16, one round down. We'll see what happens next week. And then we'll have week one. Let's get into it. Let's do it. And we will start with the newcomer of the year. I just want to read out what we said last year, which I'm sure we said enthusiastically and with great belief. We really sold these picks, I'm sure. Well, Kalen, you had Brenner from FC Cincinnati, which might actually be the best of the four, to be honest. You're not going to be surprised. I had Alexandre Pato, which he of the three appearances, but playoff minutes, Dave. And you have Ramon Avila, who I don't think is still... There's no David Goss theorem for Ramon, unfortunately. I don't think. I think it's
three
over.
Goals, though. Three goals.
That's fair. All right. Tomas Pochettino for Doyle. That had the makings of something special. And look, he's at a big club now.
Yeah,
he's back
like,
in Argentina.
It's weird with Pochettino because it's like, if you told basically any MLS fan base that, like, okay, you're going to get a 26-year-old central midfielder from River Plate, everyone would go berserk. They'd be like, oh, this guy's going to be so good in MLS. And that's what Pochettino is right now. But he was very, very poor for that Austin team. And they did the absolute right thing, loaning him out, opening up some flexibility, and then getting a ball winner into that midfield.
All right, let's
if you went up to Tomas Pochettino a year and a half ago and said you'll be playing for River in a year and a half, but you'll have a terrible year in between, he probably wouldn't believe you. Right? He'd be like, No, I'm gonna have a great year and then River's gonna buy me because that is a step up for me. This is where MLS stands.
Well, talk to Jefferson Soteldo, who's down in Monterrey, saying that he burned a year in MLS, and now he's at a big club, and he's happy about it. I'm like, well, I think you did a lot of that, Jefferson, but that's up to
Jefferson.
You, man. Okay, who are we going to...
Jefferson.
God dang it. I can't help myself.
Weeby now never has to learn it because he left the league.
Well, I gotta figure out. Yeah, I'm more of a hooked on phonics guy, so it's troublesome for me when we have those situations. All right, let's put a curse on four more players.
Are you going to yell at me if I say this? Jefferson Soteldo had 3 goals and 10 assists last year.
Yeah.
He's a flame out whatever. He had 10 assists on the worst team in the East that he joined mid-season.
Worst.
Didn't
second
even get to David.
Yeah, come on. Give Cincinnati their due.
I know, but
you
understand
due.
What I mean by worst. Okay. As in, it was a tire fire.
Okay.
That's not bad.
Anders is already yelling at us. He says we only have 5 minutes per category, and you know how we treat that buzzer on this show. Newcomer of the year.
That's 5 minutes for Jefferson Soteldo.
Get it started. Doyle, who's your newcomer of the year for 2022?
Douglas Costa. It's weird. Oh, wait. We're supposed to go around first, and then we're
no,
supposed
give
to
me,
talk.
Give me, no, no. I want to hear
he's
your
He's 31
your
years old. He's not washed, and the signing went under the radar and was kind of scorned a little bit. And to be fair, his heart did not appear to be entirely with it at Gremio. But, like, this is a guy who started a qualifier for Brazil, I think, last year. He started games for Bayern Munich in the Champions League last year. He's not past it. And I just think that with him and Chicharito and Cabral on that front line and, like, a functional mid... Like, the Galaxy are still probably going to give up 50 goals. They might score 70, and he's going to be a big part of that.
I like it. I like that pick. All right, Kaylin, you're up. Your newcomer of the year.
I'm going Shaqiri, Chicago Fire. Love the signing. Also 30 years old, so the right age, right? And like you look at the clubs that he's played at throughout his career. Pretty incredible. I think he's won the Champions League twice. So I think like the idea of bringing somebody who's has that kind of winning pedigree. I think the Fire also need like somebody to like really galvanize people out to matches. And then like sometimes for newcomer of the year, it's like you're gonna need to make an impression. And if you want to think of like absolute banger goals, he's gonna have a couple of those too. So that's my pick.
I gotta say right now, you heard in the background, or you see right now if you're watching on YouTube, the fact that Dave he's like I couldn't not buzz him in. I need that package. I have to have that package. I couldn't get it tomorrow. I couldn't go down to the post office to pick that thing up. I gotta get up and go buzz this person.
Meanwhile, Anders is absolutely melting down in the chat because Weeby just like unilaterally changed the format of the entire show. This is
exactly.
Glorious.
Okay, I'm going to go now because I thought Dave was leaving. Mikel Urra is my newcomer of the year. I get the Diego Costa. I like that pick, but they're going to be flawed. The defense for LA is still a huge question mark. I like Shaqiri too, but it's the Fire. And I learned last year that while my heart might be there, I should probably not put my, like, I don't know if our reputations are on the line here. Probably not. But I'm not going to go out of the limb for the Fire. But the Union might be the best team in the Eastern Conference. And I know Urra has not been there yet. The visa issues are a big problem for Philly right now, but he's a Golden Boot winner. They've needed this for a long time. They signed him to a long-term deal. Ernst Tanner has a track record of getting these things right, like little under the radar signings, and he's less under the radar than some of the other guys who have been best 11 candidates for them. I think Mikel Urra is going to have a huge year, 15 to 20 goals. It's exactly what they needed. They're going to be one of the best teams in the East. He'll get a ton of pub for it. He's my newcomer of the year.
My advice would be if you're going to take like a potentially burn to the ground pick, don't knock the other people's picks on the way there. Don't make your reasoning because
I said I liked both
Fire
of those picks.
Good. Who was the last good center forward Philly signed? So I think it's Shaqiri's award to lose. I think most people around the league will say that. Insigne is only coming halfway through the year, so it's Shaqiri, and if he loses ground, someone else. So I agree with Galen. If I'm not going Shaqiri, I'm going to go Facundo Torres. I think it's a they brought in a center forward. Pereira's not a high-level chance creator, but he will cover a ton of ground and be active for you. And so I think Torres, you're looking at a guy who's already in the Uruguayan national team, a young player. I think there's pressure, but it's not 100% on his shoulders. And Orlando has space for him to be successful.
But if Kara's scoring all the goals, isn't Kara going to be the one who gets the newcomer of the year? What's that?
Maybe. I think he'll have assists. I think he'll be the highlight reel player. I think he'll be the one that like we're tuning into to watch Orlando.
El Cuervo, the crow. What an incredible nickname. A couple other names I'm going to throw out there because it's my favorite show of the year. Therefore, I have massive lists to run through. Prepare yourselves. Does Lorenzo Insigne have a chance, Kalen, at this? Because we've seen newcomers of the year come in mid-season. Does he have a chance? Like Pipa Higuain, others, they came in, they blew it up, and he could be that kind of player ahead of a World Cup. And if we're talking about profile,
last year,
voters love that.
Christian Arango and Ryan Gaul were probably the two best newcomers. Yeah. So, yeah.
No, absolutely. And especially if you think of like the David Goss theorem, we'll get to that later, of like, you know, it takes some guys, even if you have like a ton of experience, like some guys might not adjust well. And so you miss that first part of the season. And if somebody else is coming off of a season, like Insigne is coming off of a season and then continues to run through leading up to the World Cup, that extra little carrot of motivation, absolutely, I could see that happening.
How about Thiago Almada? Oh, there's the buzzer speaks. The buzzer speaks for us. Let's go to the first year college player of the year. This is one of the hardest categories we have. This can be both a homegrown player who comes out of college and is signed to an MLS roster. It could also be a super draftee from 2022. This is, I honestly, we had two guys, I think, last year that really made an impact. And we probably gave this one to Jervaine Brown.
Yeah,
we
might have
given it to, yeah, I think him or Danny Pereira, but Jervaine Brown was the best first-year college player of 2021. Give me your candidates here. Doyle and Goss, I think this is your wheelhouse, so feel free to go back and forth. We'll start with you, Doyle.
Do you want a list of candidates or do you want my pick?
Yeah, this one is, I think this one we got to, I don't know, this one's, we got to have a, you know, there's like a handicap to this one. I have no pick. I don't.
Doyle, you go.
I have a pick. My pick is Sofyan Jafal. He's one of the few first-year players, rookies, out of college who has been starting in preseason with the first team. He's been starting for DC United. He was my favorite player in the draft. He fell to the second round, I think because he's an international. But he, like, I talked to coaches who were like, he's a top five player, top five talent in this draft. I was like, then why didn't you pick him? Every team burns international roster slots, but he's my pick. And since this is a Weeby production, I'm going to give you my list as well. Will Sands, left back, twin brother of James Sands, has been playing well for Columbus in preseason. And the other one is Kip Keller, the big center back who has fell to fifth in the draft, fell to Austin, which is a great spot for him and great for Austin. Look, I don't think much of Austin as center backs. So if Kip Keller is decent, I think there's a good chance he gets on the field and wins minutes. And if you're just playing, then you're on the list here.
To be clear, to recorrect your wording, Weeby, it's the college player. It's not Super Jeff because Will Sands is not a Super Jeff.
Right. Oh, yeah. You know, I said, well, I explained that. I said it could be a homegrown signed out of college.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I agree with Doyle's list. The other names I had were Isaiah Parker in Dallas. He's probably second on the left back list, but he could play multiple positions. And I don't know, they're pretty thin.
And his
the
upside,
field. And then
it should
Buda.
Say his upside is national team. Isaiah Parker as a left back is like a Kevin Paredes level prospect. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
Yeah. And then the other one was Useni Buda, just because one, San Jose doesn't spend money. Two, they already have him on their team. And three, who knows what Matias Almeida will do? But he actually has proven he'll play college draft picks or play college players. JP Marie's had a pretty good career out there. And so I think if there's injuries or people aren't performing, he'll get opportunities. And I like his fit alongside, like I said this, I think a few weeks ago, but the Cade Cowell, Jeremy Abobasi, now Jimiro Montero, Senny Buda front four that's just flying down the field. I'm in for that.
I mean, I don't have a pick here, honestly. I just want to hear from Kalen because he does the rookie symposium. So I want to know what like the coaches and the folks that are talking to these crop of rookies told them about their professional lives are about to look like.
Well, I told the kids that I had Danny Pereira in my like sort of breakout group throughout the week. And so we had like, you know, one of the top rookies in the league, so I was like, there's pressure on this group this year to come back and someone's got to claim the title. I like Kip Keller. I think that's a good pick in Austin. So I think partly you got to look at, and when I look at kind of what happened with Pereira, is like Austin needed to use a player in that position, right? And they're going to play some guys who are, what teams are going to play these guys? And so I am actually looking more towards Charlotte. And I think Ben Bender is going to get an opportunity. And then the other guy, Chris Hegart, is from Georgetown. I think he's a guy that, I think he's from the Sounders Academy. They kind of acquired him through his rights, or they got his rights as well. But I think a really like left-footed player. I got to watch him play a little bit. But I know the coach is super high on him, as well as the staff around him. So I think those two guys are going to get opportunities. So in this group, as we mentioned, not all these guys are going to immediately walk into minutes. And I think Charlotte's a place that clearly needs to find value or young players that can play. And so those are two guys that I'm going to kind of like, I'm going to bundle them together as one pick for me and go with Ben and Chris. Let's make it happen, guys.
And Kalen's right to pick based off team. The other thing we should point out is no one had Javane Brown on any list last year. So most likely the winner of this award will be someone who was not mentioned in this conversation.
For super draftees,
and now I'm going to get up for a second.
A crucial part of this is to get signed to the first team. That's a part of this. Like, if you had that Generation Adidas deal, you're in, but most of these guys still have not been signed. Some are still in preseason without having been signed. So, like, you know, you'll get a Justin Rasmussen, and it's like, okay, well, the Timbers did sign him, and he scored a goal, so, you know, he's a left back. They might need depth there if Claudio Bravo gets hurt. Like, throw it out there. I don't know. We'll see. That one's the most difficult category to predict, I think, by far, even though our track record is not as good in some other categories either. 22 under 22 player of the year, they can come from anywhere. Let's shuffle the order here, and we start with you, Dave. Who is your 22 under 22 player of the year?
Don't start with me.
Start with me,
because I want to go deep on the list.
You've been starting every time. Right. Kalen starts.
22 under 22.
Yeah,
I'm going with Cade Cowell. Yeah, coming in hot. I think he's gonna have. You know, he's already kind of broken out, obviously, but he's not a secret anymore. But I think with the changes that are happening in and around San Jose, I think they're gonna have to really throw all the way in on him, and they should just let him go, right? And like, we look at the 22 under 22 list, I think most of those guys are gone. Most of them are sold from the top 10.
Yeah, the
10
top
picks.
10 piece.
It's out. And you look at his age, I think he's still 18 years old, I think. That's crazy. Like, so I don't expect to continue to see Cade Cowell on this list for like the next 3 years, right? It's just not going to be a reality the way MLS is moving right now. So I think this is the year, from a value standpoint, from a confidence standpoint, and even he's looked sharp in preseason. But I think they're going to really kind of give him the keys. They've added some nice pieces around him where, you know, Ibobasi, I think, hopefully healthy, playing up front. Montero as well, to be able to kind of like help distribute and find him in space. So I really like the way things are setting up for him this year. And I think this could be even a bigger breakout year for Cade Cowell.
Just want to say it. 2222 player of the year presented by Body Armor. Anders thinks I'm off my game here. But if you don't see this nice bottle of orange mango that I'm going to crush after this show, you must be out of your mind. See, Anders, that's the way it works, man. You think I dropped the ball? No, no, no. Our friends at Body Armor are getting all the publicity on this show for 22 under 22. Doyle, take it away.
So I can I have two picks?
You can have one pick, and then after everybody else picks, you can come back and make that pick.
Okay, well, I think
does.
My second...
After Weeby makes
let me have the list. I'm the list man on this show.
All right, Jesus Ferreira is going to win it. I kind of forgot about him in the pre-show because he's been around for so long, but he's still just 21 years old. He doesn't turn 22 until I think Christmas. So technically 22 under 22 eligible. He's the starting number 9 for FC Dallas. I do think that there are other younger, higher upside players on this list. Ferreira's a starting number 9, maybe for the national team too. And I think that is he's going to be productive. He might end up going like 12 goals, 10 assists type of season. And that should not be ignored.
I had him in my Dark Horse MVP candidates, actually. Given the run that he's going to get. I think it's really cool, by the way, in 22 and our 22 here, that our first two picks are, one, an 18-year-old that signed a U22 contract with San Jose, so got that jump up, and two, a 21-year-old that has a young DP deal in Jesus Ferreira. Yeah. That's cool. That's really cool. So it's not always about sales. Those guys are getting rewarded in the league as well, and they're expected to produce. Like, Jesus Ferreira has a ton of pressure on him for Dallas to reach their potential. Dave, we've we've kicked the can. Do you want me to jump in, or do you want to take it?
No, I don't want to pick a goalkeeper, so you go.
You don't want to take Gaga?
I don't, not against him, I just don't want to have to pick a goalkeeper.
Okay, if you were, I'll take Gaga Slonina. He would have, you know, I have some other candidates, you know me, but I'll take Gaga Slonina. I love the quotes that he just had out this week that he doesn't yet really consider himself. He's like, I don't know that I consider myself the number one yet. I'm committed here. This is what I'm doing. I like that sort of hunger from him, but let's not like play around. He is the number one for the Chicago Fire. And this could be, you know, how I buy in on this stuff, shot him alert and everything else. This could be the Fire's year. He could be, he'll be in the spotlight every single week. We saw last year, he has moments of game-changing brilliance. And if you add that up over the course of an entire season, if he taps into his potential and shows us it's not just potential, he might be the most impactful 2222 player of the entire year. So I'm going to go Gaga Slonina and be on record there. I feel like that's a safe pick. I feel like you're going to go out on a limb here, Dave. So climb out there.
No, I think all of you made the picks that are the top three or four. I would say the next person out is probably Caden Clark. He had the appendectomy last year, so we didn't see him at full strength, but he's going to get a ton of burn. He's going to be a key piece for Red Bull, and I think he's going to be sort of that next guy in. And if you didn't go Gaga Slonina, you could have gone David Ochoa, which I hadn't thought about until I forgot he was also still eligible for this list, which is epic. And then I've got 97 other
same
people.
We can throw him out there just so people can watch him. I mean, we didn't talk Julian Araujo.
Yep.
I hear Efra Alvarez looks really good in preseason for the Galaxy. Like, maybe he could actually be the Efra that we've been waiting for a long time. Tyus Magno is eligible for this list. He's going to be a starter on the wing for arguably the best team in the league. He could be the number nine if Tati gets sold in the summer. They could move him up there.
I had Santi Rodriguez on my list before I did.
Yeah, he's a tad too old.
Check.
But like Moses Nyman, Paxton Aronson, Jaquil Marshall-Ruddy, Mamadou Fall might start for LA. They could be it's a really good crop of young players.
Dark horse shout out for my guy Ralph Preso. Forget Jonathan.
The dark horse there is Jaquil Marshall-Ruddy. Like there's a reason why they.
I don't think it's a dark horse. You said he was the starter at right back.
Well, there's a reason why Toronto were okay with selling Richie Larea and loaning out Oro. It's to clear playing time for Marshall-Ruddy, who's 17 years old, who I think is going to be the starting right back for this team, and who is, like, for years, people have been telling me, like, this is a Gio Reyna-level prospect. Like, this kid is legit. So I'm really looking forward to seeing him. The other, like, going to throw a little more Canadian love up to Montreal. The D-mid, Rita Zoer, he was so good the other night. Like, his transition instincts need a little bit of honing, but he was not shook at all by going on the road and playing at Santos 3,600 feet in an international competition. He looked awesome. And I hear, like, I've heard from coaches around the league, like, he's been killing us in preseason. Like, he came, we had no idea who this kid was. He was the best player on the field for 45 minutes.
I'm very curious to see what Paxton Aronson does. Tom Bogert's reported that a lot of big teams are watching him, and that's no surprise given what he's done at his age and the fact that a lot of people say he's further along than Brendan. And of course, Brendan is the subject of some serious transfer interest himself in the many digits of millions. So a lot of fun players to watch this year.
I'm pretty sure Leon Flock will be eligible.
He is still. He's just
he won't win. People don't care, but he'll probably
Jack McGlynn too that you could look at on this team. Like, it's the crop of talent is really impressive. I saw some stats the other day that in the world it was like MLS is sixth in the amount of players like under 20 or under 22 that are getting regular playing time. Which is pretty cool. I don't know. That might be complete BS. Go look it up, I guess. All right, let's keep it moving. We'll go to goalkeeper of the year. And I think everybody else has had a start here, so I guess I'll take the start here. I'm going to go Sean Johnson for my goalkeeper of the year. I think NYCFC's defense is not getting the credit that it deserves, and Sean Johnson hasn't really gotten the credit that he deserves. I thought he should have won this award a couple years ago, and it didn't happen for him. That was the year of Vito Manone. So I think this is his year. They went and got a DP center back. They have a track record of being extremely, extremely difficult to break down. And Sean has kind of finally pushed his way into the national consciousness, where I think he'll get those votes after that MLS Cup performance and the playoff performance. So my pick's going to be Sean Johnson here. And I hope he wins it.
I'll go second. I had a 1-2 and Sean John was the other one. So I'll pick Andre Blake. I think we're talking about the top two teams in the East. So team performance is obviously a huge part of this. I agree with you that in terms of like publicity and notice, Sean John now probably is in a different stratosphere because of the
penalty kick shootout win for him. Especially if Tati leaves, then he sort of becomes the face of the team to a lot of people. But Andre Blake probably has deserved to win it every year he's been in the league, or every year over the last 5 years. I think Philly will be top in the East. I think he will continue to do the things that make him great. And so I'll put Andre Blake.
Kaylin, what do you think?
I'm torn between these two. I think both of you guys make good arguments. I think I'm going to go, I generally never pick against Andre Blake, but I think I'm going to switch up here and go with Sean in this case. I think just looking at that team, I think there's going to be more eyes on this team now than in the past, which is kind of strange to say because like it's not like NYCFC doesn't get looked at, but I think winning the cup and then kind of being probably front runners or near the top as far as supporter shield, I think favorites this year. So I think that's going to put a lot of more eyes on them. And then just look at that, the structure of that team. At some point, I think they're going to get Anton Tennerholm back. I think, you know, Sean's consistency, I think will end up maybe putting him a pace above where there has been some changes around Philadelphia. Andre Blake has always been the consistent force to kind of hold them. I think he's kind of that a game changer in himself as far as like, you know, a guy that can win you games, which is strange from a defensive position or a goalkeeper position. But I'm going to go with the consistent play and the team and then the quality of Sean. So I'm going to go Sean.
I'll go across the river. Carlos Coronel, he was awesome the second half of the year. I thought he was, you know, second half of the season, I thought he was playing at a higher level than Matt Turner or Sean Johnson or Andre Blake, for that matter. And it's, you know, his shot stopping was really, really good. His sweeper keeper stuff was elite, like Nick Raimondo type stuff out there. And he was, you know, all respect to Sean Nealis because he had a great year. But I thought Coronel sort of getting up to speed by July was a huge part of why the Red Bulls suddenly started shutting everybody out. He was just awesome the final 3 or 4 months of last season. So it's a little outside the box. I think it's most likely going to be Andre Blake or Sean Johnson who wins it this year. I would love to see Steph Fry or Tim Melia win it because they've both been overlooked for so long. But I'm going the other direction, relative newcomer in Carlos Coronel.
Those are smart. I went Tim Melia last year.
No, it did not. Yeah. He was not great.
I have three of those four on my list, of course. The other one I had on my list was Maxime Crépeau. I feel like LAFC are in for a bounce up year, given the health of their stars, given the fact the moves that they've made in the offseason, Kellen Acosta coming in at D-mid, Hollingshead, health of those center backs. You think Eddie Segura, I'll get that in before you can, Dave, maybe coming back here at some point. But it feels like Maxime Crépeau, given his underlying numbers last year and the way that he got publicity and recognition, maybe in LA we'll have a chance to do this. Any other names you guys would throw out there? We have like a minute left before the buzzer goes off on us that have a chance at this one. That might sneak in and do something. I mean, like maybe a JT Marcinkowski could be a dark horse candidate there.
I think the Quakes will give up too many goals. It won't really be his fault, but like you can give up a lot of goals playing a made ball.
All right, we don't have
Pedro
any
Gallese, cool. I guess, maybe?
Gallese is one, but they gave up so many goals last year, too, that it's a question mark as if they'll get back there. I don't think you doubt his shot stopping, but ultimately this award usually goes to a guy that has at least in the top five of fewest goals allowed. So, all right, Defender of the Year. Let's get to that one, and we're calling that one the Alan Franco Defender of the Year because that's who I went with last year, and that was that was a tough choice from me. Dave, start us off. Who you got for Defender of the Year?
So mine's already starting dark horse, so you guys are all welcome because I left your picks probably on the table, but I'm going to take Kamal Miller, which seems tough because he got rinsed for the losing goal against
I applaud
your dedication to Kamal. You know what? Once you decide a guy is your guy,
here's
you're riding
my argument
for him, all right?
Here's my argument. You're looking at a top two or three defense in the league, and I think when you come down to listen, he's not going to win this, right? He's not going to get enough votes because he plays in Montreal. But when you come down to it, I think he's going to be the key component to one of the best back lines in the league. And I think Montreal is going to make the playoffs because of how good that back line is. And so That, in my mind, is how you would find a defender of the year. In reality, it's going to be Andrew Reeve writing 97 articles about a passer and some bozo in San Jose voting because they read Andrew Reeve's piece.
Wow.
But I would pick Kamala.
You're just out here just... That's not even... I didn't even get sniped there. You just stepped up and hit me over the head with a brick. Like,
it's that classic, what do people in the industry know but don't talk about?
Wow. I just appreciate that you went for a brand choice. Like, you know that this has absolutely zero chance, but you just, it's a straight brand pick.
But it doesn't mean that it shouldn't happen.
Okay.
It just means it won't happen.
Okay. All right. Do you have a more realistic pick, Doyle, or are you going brand choice as well? Love Kamal. Not saying he's not a great defender.
Both. A realistic pick and a brand choice. Miles Robinson. he's been one of the better defenders in the league over the past 3 years. He's just hitting his prime now. I think Atlanta are going to be much better than they were last year. He has the narrative backing of people like Andrew Wiebe.
Everybody knows that
narrative vote splits on Walker with him because people don't even think.
Yeah, but there'll be voter fatigue. There'll be voter fatigue with Walker this year, right? So I
doesn't seem like it.
I think Miles Robinson's the favorite. There are a couple other guys, but yeah, if I'm forced to pick one, not all of us can be Andrew Wiebe and just like list.
Look, I'm the dark hand behind all of the, you know, the mechanisms of this league. If you want to change something, if you want to get a guy a bonus, you just come to me. That's the way this works. Kalen.
Damn. I wish we had. This is one where I'm like, I wish we had gone through the picks before the show because I was going to take Robinson. Can I still take Robinson?
I got a list.
Or should I mix
you want
it
me
up?
To throw a list out? I can hit you with a list.
Hit
me
with a list. Take Robinson.
No, Kalen, you can take the same person.
Give me a list. Yeah, you can do that. Give me the list.
All right, we got, you know, if you
just can't win.
I want to know my options.
Yeah. I'll tell you okay, my second was Yamar.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was about to say Yamar.
Yeah.
I think when you look at award season, the best teams find a way to kind of just like shovel these things in. And so I already look at Philly as a great team. I think Jakob Glesnes would have a really good shot at this one, but I think Seattle are going to be probably the Shield winners. And if they're the Shield winners, they're going to pick up awards. And if they're the Shield winners, they're going to be great defensively. And we know Yaimar's good defensively, so he already has that narrative behind him. So I'm going to go Yaimar. The other names you can throw out there, Walker still is a great name to throw out there. I don't think people will be that fatigued of it, especially in a World Cup year where he might be the most important USMNT center back as well. Same thing could be said about Miles Robinson. Jakob Glesnes, going back to NYCFC, Alex Collins, maybe even Thiago Martins, depending on if he gets in. I have Sean Nealis. Aaron Long could be sort of this.
Who was the best defender on that team last year?
Who was?
I don't know if I do. I don't agree with that.
I agree with that.
Well, it's your take.
Right. That is incredible radio right there.
He's backed by himself. I love it. I like the Collins pick.
Charlotte.
I'm going to go with Walker. I'm going to go with Walker. I started with Miles, but I'm going to go with Walker, partly because I actually heard him recently come out and say that he wants the award every year. He wants to win it again. And I think that does play a factor sometimes in some of these awards. And I also think just with that system and that setup, they're not going to give up much. That's going to continue to be the same. And then also the X factor, which I think has helped him in the past years as well as goals, is can Miles Robinson, you know, take some of that aerial ability and translate that into goals, because that changes the picture and perception of things. And for a team like Nashville that's constantly in close games, a header here or there on a set piece is going to, or even on his feet, because he scored that last one with the national team, kind of finding the ball on the ground. But I think Walker, with that setup, his leadership, I think he's underrated with the ball. I think he's much better with the ball than people give him credit for. And then some goals. That always takes things over the notch.
My Alan Franco Defender of the Year, which is outside the league coming in, probably shouldn't pick him, but could have a huge impact, is in Chicago. Rafa Shihus, I think, could be a really, really, really big pickup for them. That could change a lot of things.
Carlos Salcedo? So,
did you pick a person?
Salcedo, yeah, but I think...
Oh, yeah, Carlos Salcedo.
Yeah, but I think the Fire feel like they probably are going to be better from the jump than Toronto, but that probably is a mistake to say with the Bob... I don't know. We'll see. I'm not actually picking him. I'll take Yammer. All right, Comeback Player of the Year, the Alexander Pato Comeback Player of the Year Award. Begins now. The candidacy begins now. The dark hand behind all these things gets its weight behind Pato. But who's your guy? I mean, I think we have a couple candidates here. Maybe I think four candidates in my mind that truly have the best opportunity to win this thing. Oh wow! How did you know? Pato's one of them. I don't think he'll win this. He's not my pick.
You've narrowed down the list to four people on comeback of the year already. Wow!
Correct.
I didn't realize it was that tight.
Well, technically the finalists are due from me around this time of year. So I gotta get the finalists in early so we can get
Caleb,
the narrative.
This is how you set a narrative, man. It's not a 2 week process.
No.
It's not a 1 day process.
No.
We still got a couple of polling games left.
You think political campaigns start a week before the vote?
No, not at all.
You gotta hit the campaign trail really.
On Labor Day, Weeby's got Christmas lights
up.
It's about seasons, not about moments.
Okay, so who you got, Dave?
Oh, I have a list and I was kind of ready to pick the one that no one picked.
On you now?
All right, I'll go with Jordan Morris, which I said in the pre-show I wouldn't do, and that's what I just did. But I think on your list of people, it's a lot of players who have already been successful in this league that missed a ton of time last year. He is on that list. You talk about a team that will be good. Maybe they push for CCL. He's already out there starting. He's going to get national team minutes as well, so then you get some narrative stuff going on. Plus, he's coming back from multiple injuries. I don't really know how people vote on this, but that seems like the type of thing that sort of appeals to people and interests them. So if he goes double-double, consistent starter, plays for the national team going into a World Cup, and Seattle pushes for trophies, it feels like he has a pretty good shot.
Check. That's one of two of four have now been listed off mine, Pato and Jordan Morris. What about you, Doyle?
I think I'm going off your list. I'm going to go with Artur.
You did go off.
Yeah,
nice.
Columbus really, really missed him last year. I think he is kind of their key player this year, in part because he's very good at winning the ball. He's a very good passer of the ball, but mostly it's like he plays with energy and drive that team was missing. Like, they were so lethargic basically all last season, and I think a lot of that comes down to him being gone basically all last year. So it's Artur.
Here's the question though:
is he going to start over is he going to start over Aiden Morris, who is also
who's also a candidate? Right. Yeah.
I think he is, but like I'll take them as a group package. Artur and Aiden Morris, my comeback player of the year.
Classic Kalen Carr pick.
I like that. I respect that. I think Jordan Morris will win this award. I mean, just I think him coming back from the multiple injuries, he looks great. He looks fit. And the storyline of like him, this Sounders team, I think is going to be incredible. I think it's going to be one of the better Sounder teams we've seen in a while. And then I think he's going to end up hopefully getting on this World Cup team, knock on wood. So that's kind of the obvious one. This award is so weird because I'm also like, if Vela goes off and like goes back to old Vela, like is that comeback player of the year? If Joseph comes back,
didn't he play like 21 games last year though? He played
That's not what this always is, right? It's like,
I know that's true. Like, I don't want to run it through my own. You know, I wanted Andy Nahar, and if you think I can control these things, I don't.
Okay,
Nahar didn't.
I'm gonna go out because I've been taking some more of the obvious picks in the past. I'm going out on a limb here, and I'm going with Ray Gattis. Ray Gattis coming back from retirement.
Oh, yes.
You redefined it. You're the comeback player of the year. I thought you saw it with Charlotte.
If you're literally like retired, you're gone, and you're like working in your community. You're doing work for the church. And then you come back to Cincinnati and you restore that back line and give them some like solid veteran presence and some hopefully
self-respect.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been joking. I want Ray. I hope he wears number 45 this year, like Jordan coming back. I don't think it's going to happen, but I know we'll see the veteran tuck from Ray. So I'm going with Ray. Lock it in. MLS comeback player of the year. Put it down in pen.
This is the content that you come to Extra Time for, right there. Should have seen that one coming. Did not see it coming. I know you guys went Jordan Morris, but you don't think Nico Ladero?
Yeah, I thought Nico Ladero is the more obvious pick from Seattle.
I think Nico Ladero is one of the four people on the list. You asked me to select one.
Yeah, okay. So I'm just saying, like, everybody went Jordan Morris. I think Nico Ladero has just as good a chance as Jordan Morris of doing this, and he could be best.
Yeah, but how many injuries is he coming back from?
A lot. It feels like a significant number. That's true. I will go Nico Ladero just to vary this thing up and to give myself the opportunity to not have to share the glory should he win it. You know, having like two people go Jordan Morris.
So wait, who were the four on your list? It was Ladero, Morris.
Ibero is the other one. Nico, Jordan Morris, and a bear. Because if Tati leaves and he comes in and he's
Aaron Long wasn't on your list of four?
Oh, my God.
He's healthy and starting.
That probably should... that's a biff.
Wow.
Also, Vela had 1,200 minutes, 15 starts.
Yeah.
I think that makes him still eligible.
Yeah, if he doubles both those numbers and is healthy all year, right, and he scores 30 goals, then he probably should win it.
Yeah. For sure. I think Aaron Long's
but
a great
it will
shot.
Be
we
Frank
were talking
O'Hara,
about Long before.
Be
just now, we just talked about Aaron Long and defender of the year, and somehow I didn't have him. Well, that's the first list that's come up short for me. Assist King. Carlos Hill obviously won this one last year. Georgi Mihailovic was right there with him. Who do we have for Assist King? Doyle, who would you take?
I'm going to go outside the box. I'm going to go with Brian Rodriguez.
Wow, that is far outside the box. I like it.
I think LAFC is going to score 1,000 goals. I think they might give up 1,000 goals as well. But Rodriguez is the year it clicks for him. He's 22. He's going to have so much talent around him. There's no more, settling in. There's no more, all the obstacles of the past couple of years. It's his job from the start. It's a World Cup year. I think he's going to end up like 15, 20 assists.
That's a pretty fuego start.
Based off all this logic, shouldn't you pick Douglas Costa? If you also said they're going to score a million goals and he'll have a million assists.
That's fair. But I went with Brian Rodriguez. I told you I was going outside the box.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. You started off with a good note.
All right, I'm going back inside the box. Carlos Hill. I mean, just like, I went out. I stepped out. I'm going back to the safe zone. I love, I know they lost Tayshaun, but the wealth of options, Josie Altidore coming in. I just think that team is dialed.
Oh, Josie's a comeback player of the year guy.
Yeah. Golly, how did I?
That's why when you said there's only four, I'm like, one is always wild.
I mean, we just had a, take it from Caitlin. We just had a wonderful, chat.
Yeah, you already got the scoop, though. You don't need to.
I'm excited for Honors to release the background footage of the meeting where Weeby's like, we don't need to go over it.
And the format.
We all got our list. We're good. All right. I like that one. Carlos Hill is my choice as well. I just think if you look at the talent there.
You're picking Carlos Hill.
Carlos Hill is my guy. Yeah. For assist game. If you look at the chance creation, he actually probably underperformed assist-wise with the volume of chances he created. And the thing I like the most, it's both sides. It's both open play, he crushed everybody in open play, even with missing 6 weeks with the groin injury. And he crushed everybody from set-piece chance creation as well. So, Books is trying to get sold. He's going to be just on it. We already know Bo is an assassin. You have Josie coming in if and when Books is gone or off the bench as well. There is no Tayshaun. I know that's an issue because Tayshaun was overlapping a lot, and that was helpful for him to get that second assist that people seem to think is such a terrible thing. But in this league, with second assists, with the chances he creates, Carlos Hill.
I thought you were going to go Pabelo Reynoso.
I have him on my list.
I'm just shocked that you didn't pick him because you love all the things about him. And it seems like Murillo's coming back. They've got Hunu from the start. Reynoso feels like the safe bet, but I'm going to go in the box, but on brand for me. And I will say Georgi. And the question is, can he keep up his numbers from last year? I think he will. The big reason is what we said in the Montreal preview, which is Mason Toy, if he plays the whole year, is a finisher. And he should be able to put up more than what he did last year. And so I think he's going to play the full bulk of minutes. I think the team's built around him. I think they'll be successful. So I'm going to go Georgi again. But he was one of three I had on my list.
We got to cap Goss's Montreal picks. It's like... There's got to be...
Once you take two from a single team, you can't go back. You gotta pick and choose a little bit more.
I have an
idea
of who David's going to pick for coach of the year.
Okay. I can change it. I'm going to change it. I'm going to go Julian Gressel. One of the highest usage players in the league. DC, I think, is going to be a mess creating chances, but they do have a ton of center forwards who are natural in-the-box finishers. And so I think it's going to be Gressel without Paul Areola this year, just owning that right side, pouring in crosses. There you go. Outside
Goss
the box, but also sort of in.
Goss is like, Brian Ching in preseason for Montreal was fantastic. Some of the best football he's played in his career.
Look, we're talking fullback of the year. You got to go Seth Sinovic. You know, he doesn't want to be there, but if he gets to Montreal, he is absolutely going to love it. Okay, we're going to save the Golden Boot draft for the very, very end here, because that thing is going to absolutely take up a ton of time. How about the Siggy Schmidt Coach of the Year? Siggy Schmidt Coach of the Year. Who do we got on this one? Is this this is, you know, obviously success is the key. Points. So it's a question of who you think is going to get points. I'm going to start. I'm going to say Jim Curtin is the Siggy Schmidt Coach of the Year. Philadelphia Union with quote-unquote fewer resources but well-used resources. Spend less than some of their competitors. Finish atop the East or like right there with NYCFC maybe. But I'm going to say, I think in my predictions I said they finish atop the East. And Jim Curtin is your Siggy Schmidt Coach of the Year. And it's a nice sort of cap on top of a long-term rise for him from player to youth coach to first team coach that was just sort of surviving year to year to one of the most respected coaches in the year of one of the best teams in the league. So Jim Curtin is my Siggy Schmidt Coach of the Year pick for 2022. Anybody got a different one? I'm sure somebody does.
I like it.
Yeah. Curtin was on my short list. I agree with you again. It'll be from winning. It'll be success. I would assume Ronnie Dialis probably short list right now to win it. I'm going to choose Peter Vermees. I'm kind of like all in on SKC having a really good regular season. And I think people noticing without Alan Pulido, the success that they have. I don't know that means they win a supporter shield or they're even first, but I think that elevates Peter Vermees in the conversation. Plus he's always in it. So I'm going to go Vermees.
Doyle?
I'm going to go Brian Schmetzer. I think the Sounders are going to win the Supporter Shield. I think they're going to compete in CCL. I think they're going to, compete in the playoffs. Like they're just going to look good all year long. And yes, granted, they have the deepest roster in the league, but there's an art to managing that. And I think what he did last year ended up getting overshadowed. In terms of how he managed that roster, juggling center backs, changing formations, compensating for the lack of Ladero, and now he's got all those pieces back, and they might jump from 60 points last year to 70 points this year. And I think he'll probably deserve it. I have other guys sort of on my list kicking around, but I don't know if their teams are going to climb quite high enough.
Can I ask this question before Kalen answers? If a team wins CCL, does the coach automatically win Coach of the
Year? Yeah,
like
he should. I know. it's kind of BS because it's technically an MLS regular season award vote, but like if a coach wins CCL, that coach is the Coach of the Year in MLS in that season.
They'll win the extra time version at least.
If you're Anders in the chat right now, I'm shocked Anders hasn't jumped in and said, well, we're going to win CCL, the Shield, and MLS Cup. So, of course, he's going to get it all. Nice. But, Kalen, who you got?
I like the Dyla shout. Robin Fraser was also on my short list.
Yeah, that's good.
As well. I am, sort of, I sometimes think about like a guy who, if he has a great year,
outkick his coverage,
outdo the expectations.
Give me a mixed metaphor here.
Ezra can get Chicago to the playoffs, right?
That's a good one. Yeah.
Ooh.
I could see.
A successful combo. Is the what's the team no one expected that makes a playoff run?
Coach of the year. But I'm going to go with Schmetzer too, and I think that for the same reasons Doyle said, I think this is a special year for this Sounders team. I think it's the way things are lining up and the way that they've kind of reinforced their team and gotten deeper and healthy, and like they have the formula is already there, right? It's just they've like been knocked down at certain points in time with injuries, and now it seems like all those things are kind of lining up for something I think pretty unique. So and I think Schmetzer, if you're gonna have like, even the way he's talking about Rusnak coming in and the way that he's kind of motivating guys and applying pressure and when to take the pressure off the guys and when to push and pull. So I think he's gonna be able to kind of the perfect manager to handle a team with that much talent and some pressure on them. So I think this is probably his year definitely as the front runner.
Let me throw out some other names that could jump into this and see what you guys react. Gary Smith. Nashville go to the West, finish maybe first or second in the West. That's very possible.
I worry about the change of conference. Yeah, I worry about that, like, and the travel and the just like some of the different changes that are going to come with that. But yeah, if he can get them to the top two, absolutely. I felt really good about them near the East at the top this year if they would have stayed. But I think the switch is going to change some of that dynamic for them.
How about Gonzalo Pineda?
So the two guys that I was kind of kicking around in my head were Gonzalo Pineda and Greg Vanney. Because if those guys got their teams to the top two in their respective conferences, I think it'll be a pretty decent accomplishment. That said, they're the two highest spending teams in the league. So I think it'll be different than like Robin Fraser or Jim Curtin or Wilfred Nancy. You know, like those guys will have, I think, more powerful narratives behind them, justifiably so.
All right. Landon Donovan, MLS MVP. Where are we going? Oh, by the way, Doyle picked Gabriel Heinze for Coach of the Year last year. I forgot to mention that. I should have mentioned that a lot earlier.
Good luck, Schmetz.
Doyle's a big ketchup guy. He couldn't go away from it.
I'm all about the condiments. Landon Donovan, MLS MVP. Who feels confident? Who feels like, yeah, I'm going to put my name on the line here? Anybody? Because last year, if you look at this, we're going to do the Dark Horse MVP right after this. Last year, four of the five were probably Dark Horse MVPs. Xiaoui, Tati, Hani, and Zhao Paulo.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously none of those won. Carlos Heel might have even been a semi-Dark Horse as well. So Landon Donovan, MLS MVP. Somebody stick their neck out. Be brave. Who's it going to be?
Joseph Martinez. I think Joseph is going to play an entire season for a coach he doesn't hate. In fact, appears to like quite a bit. Gonzalo Pineda, over the final half season that he got last year, not even quite half a season, they played in transition all the time, or tried to anyway, which is exactly how Joseph likes to play. Obviously, Pineda was an assistant under Brian Schmetzer, whose teams have consistently tried to play in transition. And on top of that, they got rid of Ezequiel Barco, who is like the worst transition player I've ever seen in my entire life, and had zero chemistry with Joseph for 5 years. So I think all of those things combined, if Joseph is 85% healthy, and I think last year he was probably like 60-65% healthy, if he's like 85% healthy, I think he ends up around 25 goals, and I think Atlanta end up top three in the East, and that feels like an MVP performance to me.
I like that. I'm gonna use kind of some similar logic, because I kind of struggled with this one, and I was like, it feels to me like MVP over the last couple years has been, I know we've had some strange times, but it's been like kind of a tough thing to call. And so I think for the same reasons Doyle's talking about, as far as like a change of pace, a change of scenery, I'm going with Carlos Vela. I think you also look at the fact that like the injuries that he's been dealing with have not necessarily been catastrophic ones, or things that you worry about from like a structural standpoint or something that could really inhibit his movement or his ability. I think for Vela, it's really more about like, is the how's he feeling? Is he like ready for this challenge? Is he motivated? Does he really want to go for things? And are the pieces around him? And I think LAFC have reestablished that central three core in a really good way, and have some depth there as well. And then Arango is a weapon that he really has not had in the past, that we haven't really seen him be able to really combine ever with that, like, really, this is our nine. That's always been sort of a rotating cast for LAFC. So I think to be able to combine with a player and that's going to draw some of that attention from him, it's going to give him even more freedom, more assists, you know, more just chaos in the box. And then you also have penalties. You also have free kicks. He can just hurt you in a lot of different ways. And it's almost like we've almost forgotten how good Vela is, just because it's been a tough year or so for him. But I think this year has the potential, with a new manager, a lot of new fresh faces, to really kind of see him get back to his best. So that's going to be my pick. I felt better about that after I talked my way through it.
Yeah, right? Agreed. I think you really, I mean, you really convinced me.
So my pick is a dark horse pick. Should I make something else, or should I just do what I was going to do?
You got to make the pick that stamp. Make the pick.
Okay. Who is left on Montreal?
So yeah, exactly. One of the things that makes this tough is I think most of us would have Tati, but we don't believe he'll be here the full season.
Correct.
Bielsa could even be in that conversation too.
I want to say if Tati stays the whole year, then he's actually my pick, but I don't think he's staying the whole year.
Exactly. So that's sort of what you're picking against. You mentioned Bucs as well. I think the issue with Seattle is if Lodeiro comes back and is great, well, they were good last year, so is that enough of a difference for him to win it? So I'm going to stick with what I did on the last one, which is I think that SKC is going to be really good this season. I think they have a ton of depth. They have a healthy center back pairing for the first time in forever. They've got options in midfield. They don't have a center forward. I think if Johnny Russell puts
Kyrie
up doubles,
Shelton.
Yeah, if Johnny Russell puts up double doubles, which he's been close, he was 15-8 last year. I think he can have enough of a groundswell to win it. So I'm going Peter Vermees, Johnny Russell double, baby.
Wow.
Take
wow,
it home, SKC.
Wow, you are really.
Weeby, I just want to get enough popularity to smoke you out of KC.
I was going
to
say, I thought we're both wearing the same shirt, but you might be me. What's going on here? The buzzer sounded. I'm going Chicharito.
Awesome.
I think he's going to.
Look at that.
I think he's going to win the Golden.
You are still you.
Yeah, I'm still me. I think he's going to win the Golden Boot. Cabral looks to be, he's a big David Gostirum guy, in my opinion. Yeah. I'm also big on Douglas Costa. I hope he's not a goal scorer. He's a creator. He's a guy that's going to unbalance a lot of teams and draw a lot of attention. And when Chicharito's 1v1 and has a chance to, they have the ball in attacking areas and he can rely on his movement and his guile and his finishing ability, he will pile up goals. So I think Chicharito is your MVP. If he wins the Golden Boot, he will win the MVP. And I don't know if that means the Galaxy are a great team because that defense still just absolutely terrifies me. But yeah, I think, look, narratives are powerful, and that's a pretty powerful narrative. Dark Horse MVP candidates. Let's go. This one's a fun one.
I already named mine. So
you got to come back with another one, man. We'll give you time to think on it. Yeah, we'll give you time to think on it. This doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to win MVP, but maybe they'll get into the top five or just a guy that you think is going to have that sort of impact on their team. Doyle, we'll let you start this one off.
Mark-Anthony Kaye.
That is a good one. Yeah.
Right? If he's the best player on a 65-point team and ends up with like 8 goals and 13 assists while being best 11, like clearly the best number 8 in the league, all of which I think is, not probable, but like certainly within the realm of plausible. Central midfielders who don't put up giant numbers don't win MVP. But I would certainly be on this show.
Joao Paulo got there.
He did. Year. Yeah, it's a very good point. I would certainly be on this show banging the drum for Mark-Anthony Kaye if that type of season were to play out.
Kaylin, you got one?
I don't even know if you would call it a dark horse, but Hany Mukhtar.
He's going to pick Vela again. You're going to pick Carlos Vela again.
Well, could it be?
Can Hany Mukhtar be dark horse if he was a finalist this year?
Yeah. Okay. So we need to go deeper. You're telling me to go deeper.
Got to go deeper. Much deeper.
Maybe come back to me. It's tough because I think a lot of places are going to like split the vote. I think the Seattle guys are going to split votes amongst Reed Diaz.
Yeah, I had Jordan Morris as a potential on my list of Dark Horse MVP candidates, but he's TBD on that one. Choose from my very long list. I threw out there on newcomer Michael Mikhail Ura, and if he's that good, he could be in this conversation
as
well.
If any Philly person is a finalist, they'll be a Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Correct.
But Philly will be good, so I think someone will be.
My backup Dark Horse pick was Jose Martinez. I mean, that said,
I like that.
He's not even starting today. In their final preseason game, it's Leon Flock starting today at D-mid for the Union.
I have a big, long list here, and I'm going to narrow it down. I have one that's extremely unlikely, but I'll go slightly more likely, but still unlikely, in Sebastian Driussi.
Ooh, that's
good. I thought he was really good for Austin last year. If they push their way up into the playoffs, if Musa Jete is the real deal, if Cecilio Domingos has a better year, like, that could be a playoff team. And if they are, Driussi will drive so much of that, and he'll get a ton of goals and a ton of assists in doing it. So I'm going to go Sebastian Driussi in Austin. Berde.
I'll stick on brand, but slightly off. I'll say Joaquin Torres. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to say Ryan Gold.
Nice.
He was the difference for Vancouver last year. If you think they maintain or improve from what they did last year, especially if Cavallini is somewhat available to them and now all the pieces have fit together, you hope, properly. Doyle says no. Then I'm going to pick Ryan Gold. I thought he should have won Newcomer of the Year last year. And now you add the David Goss theorem to what he did last year.
Oof, my God. It's a crazy multiplier there. Demir Krylak was a name here that I thought should have been probably a finalist last year. I just don't know that RSL will be good enough, you know, just like last year, to push him into that conversation. I'll throw out some other names unless you have yours, Kalen. I see you like looking off into
I just pulled up Krylak and then you mentioned him, so you know.
Well,
that's my life.
Okay. Here's some other names just to get your reactions on them. I had Lucho Acosta. That's pretty, you know, a lot would have to change in Cincinnati, but I had Lucho. I mentioned Jesus Ferreira already.
Yeah. Did we mention Sebastian Blanco?
No, we didn't, but that's a good one. That's a good one if he can stay healthy. I mean, if he stays healthy, he'll produce, you figure. Erkan Kara was in here because, you know, we talked about Facundo Torres, but I figure if Torres is great, Kara's going to be great, and that's probably a playoff team in Orlando with Poppy at the helm.
You're talking MVP Vanderwater right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Here's one that I threw out. Jeremy Abobasi.
Whew. I mean, I'm the world's biggest Jeremy Abobasi fan, but, like, that's a lot.
Hey, could be a 15 to 20 goals. These are like outside the realm of logic.
There's two things you have. There's the, this team will be good, and this is not the person you think would win, or you didn't think this team would be good, but this is the star player on that team.
Correct.
Right? Those are like the two conversations. So Weeby's now naming all the good players and all the bad teams.
That is correct. That is what I'm doing right now. All right. Let's go to what do we want to do here on our awards? We have fullback, we have D-mid, and we have the David Goss theorem, which I think we'll finish off with and then do our golden boot draft. Let's do the D-mid of the year. Who's your D-mid of the year, Doyle?
Well, I originally had Jose Martinez, but the fact that he's not starting this preseason game has me shook, so I'm going to go with João Paulo.
What a moment in time that this will look like when Martinez starts 31 games this year.
Well, yeah, this preseason, I got to base my entire pickup of a preseason 11.
I don't think I'm going to feel stupid for picking João Paulo, though, right? He was MVP shock caliber, so yeah.
Yeah, that's chalk. That's our D-mid of the year from last year, rolling it on.
I'll go Chara. Like, just, you know, you could just put both of those two guys on the list for a while. But, I was almost thinking, is this recency bias? Because I still remember the MLS Cup and watching him play in extra time, just like hunting people down in the 118th minute and just being like, wait, what's going on here? How is this guy still so fresh? So, I'm going to take him off the board.
Okay, that's a good choice.
I'll go Colin Warner on this one.
Nice.
Respect to the man, still getting starts. Gotta love him, gotta respect him. But I agree with Kalen. I think it's Chara until he's knocked off. So I won't pick against him.
I'm gonna go João Paulo. Just, I mean, the Sounders are just gonna be juggernauts, I think, and you saw what he meant to them last year. Like, add Nico in front of him, add Jordan Morris to the mix, and it's just gonna be a level up, even from his incredible level last year. Some other names I'd throw out
Wait. I'm gonna ask before you start listing stuff. Does anybody think Michael Bradley could get back into this discussion this year? Because, like, his 2017 season is still the best season a D-mid has ever had in this league. And, like, he'll be playing for his dad, who he's played for before a lot. They know each other's strengths and weaknesses. He could still ping, like, he's still the best passer in the league as a D-mid. Does anybody think he could get back into this discussion?
Yes. I
don't know.
It was not a name that I had on my short list when we started this conversation. I mean, if he plays well, he's going to jump because it's Michael Bradley, right? And everyone's watching and everyone's waiting. And if the team plays well, then yeah. Do I think all those things are going to happen off the bat? No, not really. So I think it's not
but like battle, doubting but a Bob, doubting a Bob team is usually a bad choice.
Except last year.
Well, nobody doubted them, so
nice.
He could have. I guess it would. I guess
true,
it would have been a good
choice.
You
picked them for the double last year.
All right.
Yeah.
Now I have another question. Okay. Kellen Acosta has played his entire career as an eight in
MLS.
He's
on my list.
If he goes to LAFC and plays as a six in that 4-3-3, given how well he has played there for the U.S. national team in five of his six appearances as a number six, including the Gold Cup final against Mexico, where he was the best player on the field, where does he end up in this list? Does he win it?
I like
he would have been my I'm feeling brave pick.
No, I think I'm all in on this. I'm switching. I think
love it. Let's go.
I'm all in.
Can I give the argument?
I think he could be a best 11 player this year.
Same.
Playing for LAFC.
So my argument against it is I don't think he will play all of his minutes there. And to win this award or be this person, I think you have to. And I think between Janela, Latif Blessing, and Cifuentes.
If Janela gets minutes at D-mid over Kellen Acosta, I will lose my mind.
I don't think it's
my
over,
mind.
Though.
I will I lose my mind.
The point is, Kellen is the first fill-in or replacement for every other midfield spot. And so I don't think he's going to play that one role the entire year. If he does, he can get in that conversation. I don't believe he will at the end of 2022.
I had Matt Polster
here
as
really
well.
He was really good last year.
I
thought Polster was the second best D-mid in MLS last year.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair, and it seems like maybe they'll get him a little bit more help this year. So that could be useful. Then I mean, like if Dave is a Montreal stan,
do it for the Galaxy.
God knows I'm a Fire stan.
Oh, I thought you were gonna do the Galaxy.
No. Federico Navarro awesome. Is an absolute boss.
Yeah.
Like, that dude is a boss. And if they're decent and he's like protecting Shaqiri and Shaqiri has an MVP level campaign because he can just do whatever the hell he wants.
And protecting Jimenez because that'll be more pissed.
Yeah. What's
they
his
got,
nickname?
They got
just
a
call,
D,
the,
they
just
got
call
a,
him the bodyguard.
They got a DP like, D-mid to protect their other DP D-mid. That's Chicago Fire to the core right there.
Chicago Fire Soccer 2022. All right. Right, there's our D-mids. Fullback of the year. Did we give it to Roldan last year, I think?
Sounds right.
Boy, really, really like a vote of confidence for the legitimacy of these awards.
Yeah,
the awards
sure.
that we give out, we're like, who the hell did we give that to again? Who
go,
you got, Dave?
I can go first. I'll go Ryan Hollingshead. He's already, to me, been the best fullback, especially attacking, and now you add the ability to come in around Brian Rodriguez, who Doyle has running the assist.
Or inside of Brian Rodriguez, too.
That's the point. He has someone to take focus off him that he's never had in his career, and then he's got players to feed that he's never had in his career, and arguably central midfield to work off of as well. Now, I don't think they'll be an elite defensive team, but, I mean, Kalen's Walker Zimmerman argument was that he'll score goals, so I think it's fine to pick Ryan Hollingshead as an attacking fullback as the winner.
I'm with that. I'm going to actually go just a little further south to
well,
you
couldn't take LAFC because we have you have your limit, Kalen. You can't take every
true,
LAFC guy.
Now I'm going to the Galaxy, Julian Araujo. I think like him, similar reasons, attacking fullback. I have so much of the attack runs through him and so much of that service to Chicharito comes through him. And so I think he's going to, you know, if Chicharito's healthy and scoring goals and Araujo is there, it's going to be a lot of assists. I think he only had maybe six assists last year, which is a good amount for
really
an outside
good,
back, but I could see him doubling that this year, I think potentially. So, and then also with the national team, those opportunities beginning to come. So I think he could have a really even bigger year than we've seen from him.
I didn't know Kalen was a low key Galaxy or LAFC fan where he's counting all 12 miles north to south from Vancouver, California to Dignity. He goes, I'm going a little further south, and I'm like, is he picking a Cholos player?
All right, we got two LA guys here. Doyle, you gonna take us outside of California?
Yeah, I was gonna pick Araujo. And for all the reasons Kalen said, but also I think he's going to be the starter for El Tri. I think he's just, he's better than Chaka, you know, and I think he's like, I don't know the entire depth chart at right back for El Tri, but like Araujo looked better than anybody I've seen play right back for Mexico over the course of qualifying. And I think starting for the Galaxy and then starting for Mexico and probably going to the World Cup as a starter, it's going to be hard to ignore that. So he would be my pick. But since Kalen already made that pick, I'm going to go buck wild and I'm going to say it's going to be Marshall Ruddy. It's like the 17-year-old kid for Toronto. Like
that is buck wild.
Like he's a massive talent. And the other thing to consider here, well, two things. One is that Bob always has his fullbacks attack, so he's going to be getting into the attack all the time. And like the way Toronto's constructed, they're going to need those fullbacks to live in the attacking half. That's one. And two, nobody, no coach in MLS history has done a better job of developing young players than Bob Bradley. Like thinking all the way back to like DeMarcus Beasley and Carlos Bocanegra, to the Metro Stars years with you know, Eddie Gavin and Michael Bradley, Ricardo Clark, and you know, all the way through Chivas. He had Sasha for a year with Chivas and
Frank Guzan.
Bob takes pride in getting the young guys out there, teaching them and putting them in positions to succeed. So I'm going to go with, I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be Marshall Ruddy.
Boy, we
I'm
are.
Glad I took Joe's like, pick. I'm going to start doing this so he has to go deeper.
We are all in. Like, if nobody was on that Ricardo Pepi train before, you know, in a mainstream sense, before extra time, and we are owning the Jaquiel Marshall Ruddy train right now. Let's see. You guys have taken. I'm going to go DeJuan Jones.
Thank God. I would have been so upset if you did not.
Yeah, I'm going to go DeJuan Jones. I just think he's so good, and he's just on the precipice of being this guy, being the best fullback in the league. The Rebs are going to be great. He already showed on this team that he's taken, like, not just incremental steps, but big jumps year to year. He wants to try to break into the national team. I'm sure he learned something in January camp, and I think he's going to be that guy. I would throw out some...
Before you throw out names, I have to challenge David Goss here. In the past, we have considered wingbacks to be fullbacks, which I think is fair. Yeah. You picked Julian Gressel as the assist king, but you did not pick him as your fullback of the year.
I didn't remember the wingback fullback thing, so okay. I wasn't sure.
So do you want to do over? Are you going to snub Ryan Hollingshead now?
I don't know. I mean, they're both good soccer
I'm wearing
players.
The DC United shirt. I'm the one who should pick Gressel.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah, by the way, MLSsoccer.com for the new kits as well. Here's the buzzer, but speaking of, like, wingback-ish play, like, I think, you know, look, Gressel's a good one. I think Smith and DC, I think both those guys are just going to be flying at goal. But Brooks Lynn and Andrew Gutman I would throw out in this conversation, as well as Javane Brown and, I hope, because I love him, John Tolkien.
I would put Daniel Lovitz. Because right now they're a game changer down the right, and I think Lovitz will be the one attacking the whole season.
Aaron Herrera?
Yeah, Aaron Herrera is a good shout. He was probably last year.
He might have been our... Yeah. I mean, we don't know who the hell we chose last year. It was either him or it was...
He was in one of our five best 11s for sure.
Not to make RSL fans upset. I kind of hope Aaron Herrera is not in this league by the time we do our vote at the end. Like, I think for him to break into the national team, which he deserves...
That's a big step for RSL as a club would be to finally start selling some of these wonderful homegrowns that they've developed. And Aaron Herrera is good enough to play in Serie A or the Bundesliga or La Liga, period.
Okay, here we go. Let's see. This is it. This is the moment, baby. It's the David Goss Theorem Player of the Year, the inaugural David Goss Theorem Player of the Year. We have beat this into the ground. It's my favorite thing.
Explain the Goss Theorem for first time listeners. David, explain the Goss Theorem for potential first time listeners here.
MLS is a unique place. North America is a unique place. One of the issues I believe that we have as a society is we're too quick to judge things. The David Goss Theorem is that it takes about a year or a season for foreign players to really find their feet in this league, whether it's the travel, the different opponents, the different styles, the different temperatures that they're playing in, whatever it is, it takes some time for some players. And we have written off players like MVP finalist Hani Mukhtar very quickly in their time in MLS. And then they have gone on to be things like MVP finalists. So that is the David Goss theorem.
Did you just vamp that? Like, did you have that prepared?
I just made that up.
Yeah. That's incredible.
But
you've
can
done
I just
that
say,
at a bar before. You've done that.
Here's the thing you got to know about.
can I just say though?
Here's
I expected
I
Doyle
about
to jump
society.
In and say he used unique twice as a modifier.
I was willing to let it go because it
I read
was just
a good
magical,
Twitter thread yesterday
right?
that most English grammatical rules were created in the late 1800s because a bunch of old farty British professors thought that it wasn't close enough to Latin and didn't have enough rules, and that they're all fake. So,
I mean, everything's fake. Every language is made up.
That's a huge win for my brain.
Grammar,
I'm going to say right now. Like, if we're gonna throw those rules out the window, I'm a winner in that scenario. All right, you get to start us off, Dave. Mm. Who's your David Goss theorem player of the year? So, we won't take anybody off the board. This is all you. Put your brand behind it, baby.
There's 700 people I could say, but I think one that's on brand in multiple directions is Ake Loba. I want him to be great. I want people to be signing 23, 24-year-olds out of Liga MX into MLS. I want people to be signing strikers for big money DP numbers. I want Nashville to have a more effective and more dangerous attack. Everything about Ake Loba I'm cheering for, and it will probably be a bust, which will be the most on-brand part of this entire thing.
Ake Loba is, I think, what probably if you put out to the listeners, like, who would be the guy that you think we would choose? I think Ake Loba,
it's like presented by,
it's presented
like
by
hummus. Landon Donovan MVP.
Yeah, I was gonna say, presented by hummus.
Yeah, it'd be presented by Sandra Hummus, I believe.
Okay. Wow. That's fair.
That's free ad right there. We gotta cut that out. What do you got, Kalen? Who's your David Goss theorem player of the year?
Well, you know, this is a tough one for me, but I went back to what was the first you went through our picks last year as far as newcomer of the year, right? Because I feel like that's a good territory to mine.
Yeah. Go check our newcomer of the year picks.
Doubling down on Brenner. He's doubling down on Brenner. Let's go.
Yes.
Brenner time, baby. Yes. I'm big in FC Cincinnati this year. I've got Ray Gattis as my comeback player of the year, wearing the number 45, whether he's wearing it or not.
You've met your Cincinnati quota.
I have.
You've hit the quota.
I'm going deeper, and that's what, you know, Goss, he sold me on this idea of, you know, promise, don't give up, we judge things too quickly, and even, especially with Cincinnati, right, how do you judge all of the performance of an individual player sometimes when the team, the system around it isn't functioning, and so this year, I'm a little more optimistic, and I'm thinking that Brenner, last year, look, he played a ton, 8 goals, 2 assists, a lot of minutes. So there is some product, right? That's like there's product there. There's just more on the other side of it still. And he's just 22 years old. I think he was bought for $13 million. Ton of promise. Everybody wanted him. He went to Cincinnati. The structure, everything around it really wasn't working for him. I think it's going to click in a bigger way this year. I'm not quite sure if I'm ready to go like Hani Mukhtar level, like glow up. But I'm thinking definitely double-digit goals, and yeah, I think it's going to be a big second year. David Goss, lock it in. I'm doing this for you, man.
Do we think the David Goss theorem applies to like Charlotte FC as a general entity?
Nice, dude.
Stop. If they're screwed this year, it could be a great.
Stop. You know, if you're
dude,
a Charlotte
three of us
fan,
are wearing the jersey. We can't be smoking them in the same.
If you're a Charlotte fan, you better hope for the David Goss theorem rather than the FC Cincinnati theorem for your second year.
That's the spoon theorem. That's the kitchen drawer theorem. Who you got? Who's your David Goss theorem player of the year, Doyle?
Kevin Cabral. As part of the Galaxy just being better, that's one. And two is trust the underlying numbers. He found great chances last year and didn't finish them. And I think given a year in this league to adjust and given apparently the fact that he lived in the gym and can now just beast defenders out there, I think he's going to break out pretty strongly
I'm so upset.
This year. And they have to play him. Like, they gave him a 5-year DP contract. Yeah. They're going to give him all the rope in the world.
I probably had already hit my Galaxy quota, but I should have just jumped in ahead of you and got that in because he's definitely my pick, Kevin Cabral. On the record is Kevin Cabral my pick, but I'll throw another one out there because we need to have a variety of content here, although Anders is saying, quick please, Weeby. But I'm going to say Luis Araujo.
Yeah.
No, he was good last year. He was good.
It was okay last year.
You can't pick someone who was good to be a Gostisbehere player.
He was okay at best. He was wasteful. He got in a ton of great positions and didn't finish them off. The whole thing was hit with him was that there's a lot more to him. He has a huge profile, had a huge transfer fee, among the biggest in league history.
No.
Comparative to that, he was a disappointment.
No.
I'm with you with Kevin Cabral, and you're out here just like shooting me down?
It's a terrible pick. What the hell is this? It goes against the spirit of the theorem.
It doesn't.
It absolutely
false.
Does.
I'm saying he's making the jump. He's making like the honey jump.
Yeah, I will say
jump, like from pretty
he
geese.
Had 4 goals and 4 assists in 1200 minutes.
That's exactly what honey was in year one.
He had like, oh my God, Weeby. No, this goes against the spirit of the pick.
Mm-mm, disagree. If I was going to go true spirit, I'd be like Gosdog.
Gosdog was on my short list.
Okay, so if Araujo then has to be an MVP finalist.
Yes.
Fine. But I already made Cabral my pick. We're on the same team.
No, it doesn't feel like it. It doesn't feel like it at all.
I like that Anders said, please be quick, and then we had 5 minutes.
This was better than being quick, though. You know that. All right, Golden Boot presented by Audi, the draft. Last year we had 2 selections each. This year we're going to jump it up to 4. We were going to draw straws for it, but this is going to be MLS rules, super draft order. So worst goes first in reversed order of success. And therefore, I get the first pick. You'll be shocked to find out that I have the first pick in this Golden Boot presented by Audi draft. So last year, I had Giassi Zardes and Robert Berich really hitting my fire hard there. I lost. I did not win. I was fourth with 17 total goals. Kaylin, you were third with 20 total goals. So you have the second pick in this year's draft. You have Joseph Martinez and Alan Pulido. Dave, you were second with 22 total goals. You took Carlos Vela and Raul Ruiz Diaz. Ruiz Diaz really saved your bacon on that one. And then Matt Doyle was your inaugural Golden Boot draft winner with 23 total goals. Diego Rossi was 6. That didn't work out that well because he left, but you had Chicharito. So, bam, you jumped up to 23. So, this year we'll take 4 players.
Wait, so why are you going first?
Because I just told you, this is super draft rules.
This is allocation.
Worst goes first.
Doyle, this is allocation order.
Allocation order.
Julian Green the most goes first, and whoever was the worst last year, and that's Andrew Reeby.
You're going to get back-to-back picks at 4 and 5.
Great. Awesome. After Chicharito and Joseph and Vela are off the board.
No. Yeah. You got Chicharito. He was a late pick last year.
Yeah, he's not going to be this year.
I know, but you got it.
And with the first overall pick in the Golden Boot draft, I take Chicharito, number one. Got to be on brand here. So Chicharito is off the board,
Wait, so
and that means
we get 3 picks each?
4.
4 picks each.
4,
oh,
yes.
This is a 4-hour show.
I want us to go deep cuts. Okay. Deep cuts. So you can – look, Doyle, you may be frustrated now, but you're going to have the opportunity to go down and pick up some guys last year that wouldn't have been available to you to really make us look like idiots. So, Kaylin, you have the second pick. You're up.
Okay. I'm going to go with Raul Ruiz Diaz from the Seattle Sounders.
Okay. That's a good pick. I like that one. A lot of goals last year, 17.
I will go with Matt Doyle's MVP, Joseph Martinez.
Oh,
the third pick.
Took him off the board. Back-to-back picks now for Doyle because he is, he's got the train.
I'm not out on Joseph, but I got burned last year, so.
Kaylin, you have like hated Joseph since the day he came in this.
We got 12 goals out of him last year. Like, among all our picks, that was the third most.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, you're up. You're up, Matt. You have back-to-back picks here.
So you could just take Ola Kamara and Michael Estrada, right?
Right. I'm gonna go with Carlos Vela.
Oh, that's I'm surprised that Kaylin didn't go Vela.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got Vela.
Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna take a flyer here. I'm gonna pick Tati.
Ooh, oh, interesting.
That's an interesting pick.
It's probably not a terrible pick.
No, it might feel early, but it probably isn't given the fact that some of us got a grand total of 5 goals.
It's probably more guaranteed. It's probably a higher floor of the guys we do bring, yeah. But a lower ceiling.
All right, so you're back up, Dave. The train comes back to you here.
I was about to take a flyer, which now I'm wondering if that's a bad idea, but I think I'm going to do it.
All right, Michael Estrada.
I think I'm going to take Giassi Zardes.
Mm.
Bounce back here for Columbus.
Okay.
I also get all the Gilberry goals in that too. So remember.
No, you do not. That's not. No, you do not
get any. You don't get any.
part of that too. You know this. You know, in fantasy, sometimes you got to make picks that aren't just like based on goals necessarily. Even though in this case, I think it is. But also, you got to vote a little bit with your heart and like, who do you want to tune into every week and be like, mm-hmm. please, come on, man, like, come through for me.
Kalen's about to pick Brian Ching.
I'm gonna take I think probably my favorite player outside of Vela to watch right now in MLS, and that's Hany Mukhtar. 19 goals last year as well too.
Yeah, that was gonna he was gonna be one of my picks there. Okay, all right, I'm gonna take Gustavo Bo. I just think, you know, that team, Carrasquillo, Buxa, Josie, I just think there's volume there for Gustavo Bo, and I have another pick to go in on here. So, all right, I'm gonna go Gonzalo Higuain.
Wow!
I didn't even consider him.
He had. It's a high upside pick. There, I know. Like,
and Doyle. You
know, I think Chris Henderson sold me in the last show on Thursday.
He's
by the way,
so committed. He loves being around the young guys.
That was probably a bad pick, but I'm you know what? That gives me a good reason to like care about Inter Miami, and so
do
I'm
we count
go
assists or is it goals only?
Just goals goal only. This is the golden boot draft.
I'm pretty sure Doyle's not the, DC not the kid points is draft. A Pipa Higuain DC. It's got the Higuain on the back.
All right, you're back up, Kalen. It's your choice.
I'm going with Brian White.
Hey!
Yep. I think he's gonna keep he's gonna keep the good times rolling from last year
with the 10th pick.
Yeah,
nice. Just had a hat trick against the Galaxy.
So
I'm feeling it.
Can I take players that play against the Galaxy? Is that possible?
So I know the player that I should say, but I'm not going to. So now the question is: of the two that I shouldn't say, which one do I want to take? You guys have been on me a lot about filling up my Montreal thing, so I'm not going to go there. I'm going to go Ayo Akinola.
Oh,
I like it.
That's a good pick.
That's a really good pick. Okay, you're back up. You got back-to-backs here, Doyle, to finish out your four. Everything's on the board for you.
Chicho Arango.
That's the one I should have said. So,
I was going to be who I took.
I'm super locked into LAFC, I guess.
But at least you don't lose as long as they score. Like you,
right.
It could be anybody there.
Yeah, between the assist king with Brian, you are betting heavy on LAFC. Yeah,
well, I'm betting heavy on their attack. I'm not betting heavy on their defense. And now I got a coin flip here.
Boy, I'm just going to be on pins and needles till it comes back to me.
You got somebody waiting?
So the Union love Julian Carranza, and he's been dynamite in preseason. Yeah.
You go Julian Carranza? Mm-hmm.
I just went Julian
Carranza. Oh my God, I love it. You didn't go with the golden boot DP they chose? That's wonderful. That's just good content. that's amazing. All right, Dave, you're up.
So I'm choosing to avoid first-year players because I don't feel strongly about any of them.
Well, the theorem says.
Brand. If you do not pick Mason Toy right here,
just
then
so
you're
you
never
know,
allowed in Montreal again.
Just so you know, Doyle, my other one that I'm considering is just
are Toy and
Kyoto
a combo,
don't worry. One way or the other, I'm going to be filling my quota.
There's a lot of good names left.
It's whether or not you think he's going to be healthy, which is the tough part. You guys,
boy, this is a real deliberation here.
This is killing me. I'm going to look back and feel like an idiot.
Remember, this is a podcast.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Andre's about to jump through a window. Okay, I'll go with Mason Toy.
Wow.
Good.
He went back to it. You know what? You got to stay with the brand.
That's good, man.
I like that. All right. This is your final pick here, Kalen. You said a lot of people are available. So
Kalen, I'll trade you for Brian White. Then I'll have all three.
The Canadian trifecta. Yeah. All right, I've got a couple of good ones, but I'm going with the guy that ends up near the top of the Golden Boot a lot of years that people just, he might not win it, but he's going to be into it near the very end, I think, and it's not as always the sexiest pick, but it's Ola Kamara.
I knew it,
I knew
yes!
You were gonna go there. That would have been a great. That would have been a really great fourth round pick last year.
Did Estrada get picked?
All right, so I'm final here. Who
did Estrada get picked?
No, Estrada didn't get picked.
Wait, you didn't take Brennan?
I'm up on for the Gauss theorem, man. Come on.
So I'm between. I think I'm between two.
Well, you
players.
Can say things out loud, maybe, because no one else.
I know. That's what I was gonna say. I'm between two or
no,
three
let's
players.
Let's do a
here.
Fifth round. Let's do a fifth round.
I mean, I would be down. Yeah,
you're not the issue. Yeah.
All right. All right, I'm going to go Johnny Russell then, if we're going fifth round.
This is how we did five best 11s, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to do Johnny Russell, and then since we snake it back to finish this, I am going to take Demir Krylock.
Two good picks.
Good pick. Good pick.
All right, you're up, Kalen.
No, we're done.
No, we're,
no, we're
doing
fifth round.
Oh, we're actually
we're
fifth
doing
round.
Fifth round. we're doing fifth round. Anders, get out of the chat with that.
So I haven't been checking the transfer market as much as maybe I should be this offseason, but Buxa?
Buxa's a Tati-esque.
He's guaranteed here until the summer window.
Yep. Okay.
And who knows? They could keep him. They could say, like, we're trying to win MLS Cup. We're just going to keep you.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Buxa. I think this is for a fifth pick. I'm willing to take that risk. Bruce? Come on, let's go for the whole thing this year. Like, don't let us down.
Oh, there's a couple of good names here left that I wonder who's going to get chosen. All right, that's you, Dave.
Oof, I kind of thought I was off the hook and I turned my brain off. I've got four names that I'm considering.
Well, you might as well say them out loud because the final pick goes to Doyle. So whoever you don't take, you can take whoever.
I doubt he'll take any of the four. I'm between Jabo, Patrick Klamala, Brenner, Miyashkoda. Although Jordan Morris is a good one.
Jordan Morris. Shabilko is one.
Shallowy.
I'm not going Shabilko.
Yeah,
Shallowy is one as well, but I'm not going to go
Jesus
there.
Ferreira.
Jesus Ferreira, yeah.
Oh!
Eric Alcaro.
Oh, I completely biffed it. Oh, what am I doing? I'm not going to put the name out now because I don't want you guys to get it, but I had my name and I just biffed it.
Now I got to figure out who Weeby's thinking of. I'll go with Jordan Morris since Anders is so upset about the amount of time we're doing on this.
Okay. All right. Finish this off, Doyle.
I'll go with Jeremy Abobasi.
Nice.
Yeah. Good pick.
It's the NBA fantasy thing.
Who was my guy that I feel like one of
he's
us should
gonna,
have
he's
definitely
He's not even
going to
start.
Really?
I think
Amaria's going to start?
I think Adrian Heath is going to start Amaria. Yeah.
That was the danger there, but he's the one they spent the most money on, so you kind of figure. All right, how do you guys feel about your squads here? Weeby's squad is Chicharito, Gustavo Bo, Gonzalo Higuain, Johnny Russell, and Demir Krylock. Kalen, you've got Rui Diaz, Mukhtar, White, Ola Kamara, and Buxa. Dave has Joseph, Zardes, Ayo, Toy, and J-Mo. And Doyle has Vela, Tati, Arango, Carranza, which is by far the best pick, and then Abobasi. I'm in for that.
I feel like That's none fine. Of these right. dudes. Our first four picks are going to be in the Golden Boot race, and no one else is going to be relevant.
I'm surprised nobody took like an outside back here.
just for the hell of it. All right, that's it for
Walker
us.
Walker Zimmerman could have been a pick.
Individual season predictions.
We should draft Golden Boot pick snubs now. Let's do another draft.
Absolutely kill Anders. All right, Thursday we'll be back with all five of us. Charlie's going to jump in. We're going to preview week one. We are going to do our trophy draft in case you either hated or loved the Golden Boot draft and get you ready for the first week of MLS, which is coming up in less than a week, which is absolutely insane. So have a great week, everybody. Any questions, comments, considerations, anything for the mailbag on Thursday, you know how to get us. Hit us on Twitter at extratime 401-206-0MLS. Text us or email us extratime@mlssoccer.com. Have a great one. Peace.